Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are rewatching Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
And John Sieber is on baby duty still.
John Sieber is feeling the joys of bringing new life into this world.
John's doing the most important job, which we always say, is being a father. We need fathers in this world. And we all have great fathers, thank goodness. And so John's doing that right now. So, you know, the podcast will get done.
Time Magazine just released a study they did. There are more podcasts in the world than fathers.
Really?
And we are trying to buck that trend by contributing to both, to both realms. Fatherhood and podcasting.
Yeah, we're trying to even it out right now to even out podcasts and fathers. I think what we would like to have by the end of it is that every father in America will have his own podcast. And I think we're getting really close to that soon. I'm sure there's so many dad podcasts about like being a good dad, growing a good beard, working with leather, doing CrossFit. And now we've got one about dads that watch Sex and the City. Okay, you and I will have children at some point, and you know all three of us will just be three dads. It'll be like Steve and Harry, and I'm sure when the reboot comes out, Big and Carrie are going to have just a litter of children. So that'll be three dads.
How many listeners do you think Carrie Bradshaw's new podcast has
in the reboot?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that it is definitely number one on the iTunes charts in terms of controversial relationship advice.
It's called Call Me Carrie.
Call Me Carrie. Yeah, exactly.
Call Me Carrie. Yeah, I mean, it is funny that on one hand, of course, Carrie Bradshaw would have a podcast in the new world. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, it's like, doesn't that just make the character less mysterious? Like, I guess to be a writer is just so, it's just so historical and so just like, if you're a writer, there's something elevated to that of like, because it's like, she's like, I'm a writer. And now the fact that she has a podcast, I wonder if it'll turn, if it's bad for Carrie Bradshaw.
It's a little harder to be, a recluse or mysterious. JD Salinger didn't have a podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Salcast.
Welcome to the Catchcast.
Hey, all the Frannies and Zoes out there, I want to say thanks for liking and subscribing.
Hey, thanks for listening to the episode. And as always, next time, I'll catch you in the rye.
I'll catch you in the rye.
I'll catch you in the rye.
Welcome to the Catchcast.
I'm JD Salinger.
Stamps.com. Check it out. Yeah.
What's the other guy who wrote? He's the one that like there's no pictures of him.
I don't know.
There's no pictures of him.
Author. There's
he
no
did,
pictures of him.
He did the. Yeah. He the lives
Apostle,
in Manhattan.
The Apostle John.
No, there's pictures of him. No, there's
Vonnegut. You talking about Vonnegut?
No, P.T. Anderson did the movie. And
Trumbo?
It's
not Trumbo.
no,
Dalton
it's
Trumbo. He wrote in the
Inherent
bathtub.
Vice. Inherent Vice. He
oh,
wrote
Thomas
Inherent
Pynchon.
Vice and
Thomas Pynchon.
Yeah, there's like
Thomas Pynchon,
but he like never spoke about anything, and he never did interviews, and he never. There was like one picture that came out of him like 15 years ago.
Wow.
And that's pretty cool. I think feel like the commitment to that is pretty amazing. 60 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be
to
great
just not
if one
do
day,
anything.
It'd be great if one day Thomas Pynchon just blew it all and just started an Instagram account and just started posting selfies.
Yeah.
Just really got done with it.
Well, it is funny because it's like, would Carrie Bradshaw be cool anymore? Would she be
I mean,
cool if Carrie Bradshaw is she,
well, what are you basing that off of? Like, how do you mean would she be cool? Like, because in the way that she used to have a column and she was kind of like the hot talk of the town. One thing that I think it's tough right now that I would say to that is, okay, there's definitely podcast celebrities, but in terms of like cool columns, there used to be things like Dan Savage, you know, and like, mm-hmm. Now those things have migrated to podcasts, but like the things that people read, it's stuff like The Cut or The New Yorker, The Pitchfork. Like, I think it's more voices of institutions now. I feel like, I guess unless you turn to like Substack, and Substack, that's where you've got like, or newsletters. So maybe if Carrie Bradshaw had a newsletter, like an email newsletter every week that was like the sex E news that like came to your inbox, but I think it would be tough for her to find a cool following now, because I think she would have had to go away for a while and then come back. I think it's tough to like, who do you think are the cool people that have just remained cool forever? I would say Martha Stewart has had a mystique about her, but she did go away to jail. But like Keith Richards. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like media figures like that are always that I don't know about cool, but are always like in the news and relevant, you know?
Yeah.
Like Snoop Dogg is one of those people, but I'm trying
Snoop
to think
Dogg
of someone
definitely is.
I'm trying to think of someone who would be like a Carrie Bradshaw. Like Madonna is not really around as much anymore. She's an icon.
She's an icon. There. That's just the thing is like being. The more I guess with the writer, maybe it is the same thing. Maybe we just saw the podcast exist and, mm-hmm. and know people that do them. And we do mm-hmm. one that it just seems like that's such a less cool thing. Like Carrie Bradshaw doing a podcast in this new series to me is funny, but it makes sense. But it's yeah. so much different than sitting in front of your laptop and creating thoughts and creating things, even though that's just like, it's realistic, yeah. but it's not cool. I don't know if who is a sex writer this day and age that is like, that has some authority and cachet. Is there anyone on a grand scheme? Fran Lebowitz is cool. She's cool. And now she's kind of broken to the mainstream with her
yeah.
Netflix series.
I mean, I wouldn't call her a sex writer.
I wouldn't either. I was saying your earlier comment about
oh,
like
my earlier thing.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean,
because there's something about holding yourself back that I think makes you cool. So the mystique of her is like,
right.
Who is Carrie Bradshaw? You just get a piece of her. And this day and age, you have to get so much of a person that even the coolest person becomes uncool the more you know about him.
Although to your argument, you have to think Carrie Bradshaw was never really holding herself back. That was just because of what the way she was having to put herself out there earlier. There was never a real mystique about her. The only mystique she had in the sense of holding back was what every writer had at the time. She had a monthly syndicated column. So it would make sense that she's just as out there as everybody else. Like, in fact, in order to like keep up in the media landscape, she would have to. Like I would think that she would have gotten her own like show on E. Like she would have at this point in her career had probably been through a few things that like started and stopped. It'd be like, oh, well, you did that show on E, and like you did that like makeover show. You were a guest judge on Drag Race one time, like whatever. You know, she would have done all those things.
You're saying she's basically Dr. Drew.
She's basically
like
Dr. Drew.
They used to do Love Line.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the same person who's like a big deal now.
Yeah, she's done. Is Dr. Drew
still
around,
right?
No, he's dead.
I think he died.
He died in a horrific He died in a horrific car accident into a dildo store. Yeah. He was buzzed to death. Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. I think, is her podcasting just like that? I just heard, and I knew this before, but I was just thinking about the fact that this is such a luxurious life, and this is what they're bringing Carrie Bradshaw into doing. Is doing a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what cultural cachet Carrie Bradshaw has in the world they're creating. If she's, you know, because they don't really paint a lot of struggle for her in the show, you know, in terms of like, she's always kind of been this like sought after name. It's interesting because like, it actually makes a lot of sense in New York life. Whenever anyone meets her, there's the people that like know her and love her. But then like when she meets certain people, she's like, well, I'm a sex writer. So she does have like a little bit of like New York anonymity where it's like, you know about her if you're in the right circles, but also you may not know about her, you know? So it'll be interesting to see if she's like the highest one.
What's her podcast name? And would you bet $5 on what it is?
I think that's a good question. Do you have one? I'm trying to think of one. I would say
I'm almost it's like if they go one route, then it's like it's 100% called this. And I just wonder, it's definitely pitched on the writer's board. It was definitely pitched of this is what our podcast is called.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if they decided to go with it or did not. But it was definitely a conversation.
Wait, what? Did you give an answer of what you think it is?
I haven't yet. I was gonna see if you were gonna guess.
I couldn't help but wonder. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
I just wonder if it's going to be that or not. I couldn't help but wonder if her podcast will be called I Couldn't Help But Wonder.
Yeah, we were there. Yeah.
What do you think? Yes or no?
I think that's too obvious. I don't know if they're going to go that route. Maybe they will because it's the obvious thing. But maybe they will because it's the obvious thing. But yeah. I kind of hope it's not called that. You know?
I know. That's what I was wondering. That I was like, I hope that she doesn't have a podcast. I hope the whole series is her starting one. And there's a whole episode of her like going to B&H Photo and like getting a microphone and like learning all the behind the scenes stuff.
I hope there's a whole thing of her. I hope there's a whole side story with her doing tech support with Libsyn. The Liberated syndication platform. I hope there's that.
So this will go into the RSS feed, right?
What's an RSS feed? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I hope there's a big thing about that.
All right. I want to put up a poll of is Carrie's podcast called I Couldn't Help But Wonder or not. I'm going to put it up on Instagram now while we go watch the episode, and then I'll see what it is by the end of this episode, okay?
Great.
All right. All right.
Well, so what are we watching today? What is the episode we're watching today?
Ifs, ands, or buts.
Buts. Buts with two T's. From what I remember, this is a pretty stacked episode. So, all right. Well, let's watch No Ifs, Ands, or Buts. If you haven't watched it, Katie's going to read you your rights. She's going to read you the description, and we'll be back in a moment. Bye.
All right.
Episode 35. No Ifs, Ands, or Buts. Carrie smoking becomes a problem when she goes on her first date with Aiden Shaw. Miranda makes more time for Steve in her life. Charlotte dates the worst kisser she's ever met. And Samantha dates a black man whose sister does not agree with their interracial relationship. And now, back to the boys.
Welcome back to the I Couldn't Help But Wonder podcast. I'm Carrie Bradshaw.
Carrie, who are we talking to today?
Today, our guest is a furniture maker
and all around good, but slightly undercuttingly manipulative guy. Ladies and gentlemen, Aiden Shaw.
Hey, what's up, Carrie? Hey, we kind of have a problem. I don't listen to podcasts, and therefore I can't be on one.
Hey, real quick question. Are you fucking smoking? What the fuck? Are we smoking in this fucking studio? I'm off this fucking interview, man. That's fucked up.
Hey, I'm going to go throw this dog, okay?
Ugh. Oh my gosh, I didn't agree to... I don't do podcasts where they fucking smoke. I don't know, man. I don't know. Watching this stuff on the rewatch, I'm a little more judgy of all these people.
Dude, I'm a little more judgy of everyone. That was, first of all, a very stacked episode. That episode was... That's one of those episodes where I'm like, oh, that storyline was in it also?
Yeah.
Like, it was a massive episode. Massive episode. I think we did that episode the first time when we watched it with Jim from the Origins podcast.
Oh yeah. That was awesome. He was great.
Yeah. Dude. I think it was great. Yeah. Go back and listen to that.
I need to check out what he's been doing on the pod, on the Origins pod.
I don't know if they've had another season.
They did yeah, they did a few more. They did one with Alabama football.
I think
Tell
that
me
was
what else they've done.
That was before ours. I'm saying since we recorded with him.
Oh, they did one after for sure.
Jim Miller. They did one on Almost Famous.
Yes.
They did
anything
one
else
on
since
Almost,
then?
Nope. They did Sex and the City, and then they did Almost Famous. I guess they might still be doing Almost Famous right now. Yeah.
Go listen to the Origins pod. Jim Miller, he talks to the cast members, and
yeah,
he basically does like the produced version of this. But if you just want to, like, we've interviewed those people too, so it's like just listen to us bullshit for hours on end rather than like editing.
Listen,
and
come on, nobody's gonna. Like he's going to talk about, you know, what the cultural context of that was, but you know, nobody's going to really, really dig in there with Ben Weber about whether he actually likes Captain Crunch or not. Okay. That's what this podcast is for. We're going to talk about if he's a real cereal head. Okay.
Listen, let's, why don't you, this is one thing they don't do on Jim Miller's podcast. They don't give the breakdown of the episode. You give the breakdown of the episode. And then let's get into a conversation about how the wonderful what happens when Sex and the City tries to dip into race issues and how that goes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I can't wait for that talk. Okay. So,
All right.
So giant episode, as we talked about, starting out, Charlotte dates Bad Kisser Brad, who licks her face. She later refers to it as "he raped my face." So Charlotte dates Bad Kisser Brad. And then the girls, are meeting at Adina's, a chef, an uptown chef, named Adina, who has a fusion soul food restaurant. She is a Black woman. And she, or as they say, an African-American woman. At the time, it was more proper to say African-American. It's kind of either way now. But they are at Siobhan's restaurant, and they meet Siobhan's, they're at Adina's restaurant. They meet her brother, Siobhan, who is a rep for Tommy Boy Records. And him and Samantha hit it off. And so Samantha starts dating him. Meanwhile, Carrie goes downtown to meet a hot new furniture designer. Stanford takes her, and his name is Aiden Shaw. And she meets him. His dog, Pete, humps her leg. He throws Pete across the room. Also, Stan meets Marty Mendelson, another hot designer. And Steve and Miranda's thing is that Steve is going to get to hit a half court shot at a Knicks game. He is in perfect Steve form. Miranda and so that's our four storylines. They have the Magnolia cupcake scene, and they which is an iconic scene. Carrie and Miranda talk about Aiden and Steve, and then Carrie's couldn't help but wonder is, in relationships, are there deal breakers? So in our four storylines, Carrie and Aiden have a date. Aiden talks about Carrie smoking, says that's going to be a problem. Stanford finds out that Marty has a bunch of creepy dolls. Siobhan's sister, she talks to Samantha and says she doesn't want to date him because Samantha is a white woman and she doesn't approve of that. Samantha doesn't agree with that, says they have great chemistry and great sex. There's also a thing where the women try to get Samantha to stop doing what they call black talk. Miranda and Steve have a discussion where Miranda says it's a stupid shot. Steve freaks out on her for not supporting her. That's their deal breaker, is that she doesn't support him. She doesn't support anything in their relationship. And finally, she goes and cheers him on, even though he, in the end, misses the half court shot. Charlotte finally breaks up with Bad Kisser Brad. That is her deal breaker. Carrie and Aiden go out to dinner, and Aiden says he wants to get dessert. Carrie says she lies. She lies a lot of times to him. And she says, I got to go. And then she goes outside and smokes a cigarette. And then Aiden catches her smoking a cigarette. And then at the end, she says that she had to break up with them. And what she meant was she had to break up cigarettes. And she puts a nicotine patch on.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
And then the last scene that I'm choosing to go to last is uptown at a club. Samantha's still with Siobhan. Adita confronts her in a club. They have a huge fight, and everyone takes Samantha's side. And then they said it wasn't because of her little white pussy, it was because Siobhan was a big black pussy, because he wouldn't stand up for his relationship with Samantha because his sister didn't want to date her because she was white and he was black. And that is that episode. Big episode.
And I just want to say, in defense of Kim Cattrall, she has shown that she's in touch with the black experience. And more than just this show, here is her scatting right now.
Oh gosh.
Oh wait, is it not?
Negro, use it. Stop it, sir.
Keep going.
Well, he bit all the he dogs and winked at all the she dogs. The town never knew such a hullabaloo as that little dog raised till the end of that day.
Never knew such a hullabaloo, and he bit all the he dogs. And wow, I feel like she maybe they should just cancel the show for that scatting right there.
Dude, I remember someone scatted on American Idol, and it was just like, I don't know where scatting came from, but I'm assuming it came from like jazz.
I think it's an early jazz thing.
And it's that, that is just such a classic thing that it's like, yeah, someone who is a jazz musician, a black jazz musician who's like, comes up with that, like, mm-hmm. it'd be such a wonderful thing. And then anytime anyone has scatted since and is not connected, it doesn't
never,
it's just never. The most uncomfortable thing.
Have you ever been to like
Scooby-Doo bop Ski-dee-doo.
Well, it's always it always tends to be like it always tends to be an older white woman that's doing it, and it just never it never goes great. Have you ever been to like a jazz club where someone is scatting on stage?
No, I haven't. I've only heard scatting through I personally only listen to Kim Cattrall's scatting.
Yeah, of course, of course. No, it's funny. It's funny. Like I've been to like a jazz club in the West Village or something like that and heard it. And like, it's funny because it's, you know, it's appropriate there, but it's just been ruined so many other times that when you hear good scatting, you're like, I can't really appreciate this. Cause it just, I've already heard the bad stuff. And so I know that I know the bad stuff is doing this an injustice, but it's just hard to get on board with good scatting. So it's hard to walk away and be like, I heard some good scatting last night.
Dude, and they were scatting. It was, whew.
Dude, those cats down in Cuba. Oof.
Yeah. let's do the Kim Cattrall storyline first. Because this is my, people say things don't hold up well. When people say that, this is like, it's not my defense of things not holding up well. It's not my defense of being like, it did hold up well. No. But it's like, it's just so hard to, because clearly the point of this storyline, it's like it didn't hold up well, but if it was written now, that wouldn't hold up well because things socially just shift so much, because the message of it is just really funny because they do paint the chef as a villain, and it is like not great to be like, I get involved in my brother's shit, and while it's like it's not the particular form of racism that feels the worst, you know, like it's not great when people are just like, I don't want my brother dating a white woman. That's like very prevalent in you know, in the world. And I, you know, it rings differently than being like, I don't want my daughter dating a black guy.
Right.
But it is in the same family of like, ah, that's not the world I'd like to live in.
No, it's definitely not a, it's, we're looking at this through a very different lens than 20 years ago. Like, especially where we've been in the past couple of years, but you're right. Like, I think the first time we watched this, my knee-jerk reaction was like, this doesn't hold up well. And like, when I look at it now, it still doesn't hold up well, but there are things where I'm like, well, yeah, like all things considered and all things are not equal. But like, if that happened in real life, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to live in a world where this, like a black guy and a white woman are dating and someone's sister says, you can't date my brother because he's my brother and you're white, just the same as I don't want someone saying you can't date my sister because you're a black guy, or like you can't date my brother because you're an Indian girl, you know, whatever. Like, I don't want that from any point of view. So like that I think I wouldn't have even like noticed that one the first time we watched it, like, because there were just so many. I was just sort of, you know, like when you get hit in the face and then you don't really realize that it hurts. You're just shocked at first. And you're like, I don't know what just happened. That's how it felt the first time. So I couldn't really suss out the particulars the first time we watched it.
Yeah. Well, I do. I think that there is a hard and fast rule that I have that if you're in an insult, if you're yelling back and forth to someone, even if it's factual, I feel at the time they're like, this, but it's like, don't say, does she call her a black bitch?
Oh no, she doesn't call her a black bitch. Here's what
black
happens.
Ass.
The Carrie Bradshaw voiceover says, Samantha had never backed down from any bitch, and she wasn't going to do it this time. Or it was like, she wasn't going to back down from this bitch. So like the show. Yeah.
But then she says to her, she's like, my white pussy, you're black. What does she say? You just...
Here, let me look up the... I'm going to look up the actual transcript. Hang on. Because when I watched it again and Samantha's walking back through the club, which, like, by the way, I mean, like, listen, like black club, white club, different places in the sense of, like, if you, especially what this is like early 2000s, they say it's uptown. So it's like, maybe it's in, like, you know, maybe it's in Harlem or something like that. Like, yeah. Samantha is possibly the only white person here. It's going to be a different feeling, like, nightclub than, like, what the four girls usually go to from what we see in the show. So there's definitely, like, a thing of her walking to the other side of the club. Sure, like, everything's different. But to throw in this voiceover that's like, Samantha's never backed down from some bitch and she's not going to do it now, is like, it felt a little too pointed to just be like, it's also, oh, yeah, like, it felt like the it's voice also of the unrealistic show walking into a black club, the black club, to just be like, okay, look out for this dumb bitch.
Good. And I think that, like, it's just so unrealistic that she's the only white person there. And then she's like, yeah, fuck you. And everyone is just like,
everyone.
Yeah. White lady who just showed up and has never been here before.
100%.
Like, there's like, it's unrealistic. It's just unrealistic because that's not how, like, when I've gone to a bar and I look like I've had that is like a divey bar, I've had people be like, yeah, we don't like fucking hipsters here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, sure. If you get to know someone over time, then they're like, oh, you're cool. Like, you can be here. Yeah. But Samantha very much did the equivalent of, like, walking into a dive bar and it was just like, you know what? I like IPAs. And it's like, we don't serve those. It's like, well, you should. And it's just like,
you know what?
Maybe just tone it down a little because, like, you're a guest in this establishment. And instead just like, and so that's the thing that it's like, the politically incorrect nature of the show, I think, is great and doesn't bother me. Like, some people are like, that doesn't hold up well, and I'm like, I don't, you know, like, whatever, that's always true. It's funny watching how they are still married to having to make her sympathetic, even though it's like, she wouldn't be sympathetic, and it'd sort of just be like, I don't know, like, not your time to shine in this moment.
Well, I think Samantha, I also think it would be like, people may, I have the transcript, I'm gonna read it in a second, but like, okay. I think people may have been like, in a club, people might have just been like black or white or whatever, people might have just been like, I'm sure there had been, you know, white people in that club before, and so like, I'm sure that people might have just been like, I don't know why these two, like, I don't know why these two ladies are fighting, you know, especially like when, like, they have like a physical fight. So there's like a little bit to where it doesn't necessarily need to be, it feels like, you're right, like, it feels like an, like, everyone trying to get on board with Samantha and turn, it's like the entire club gets on the side of the world of the show against this one character of the sister, and everyone's like, yeah, where it feels like it would almost be neutral, to where people would be like, In a reality, people would just be like, what are y'all fighting about? Why is this woman screaming? And then a white woman in a predominantly black club screaming, the line that Samantha says is, get your big black ass out of my face, and your okra wasn't all that. I think, dude, like that, like, I think that would be more of, people would probably at nicest just probably be like, whoa, what? Like, you know, like, people are not gonna be like, yeah, no, but like, there's a little bit where it's
no,
like,
I think at a club, I think that on? could turn into a fist fight. It's this, like, because, like I said, it's not factual, but I think that if you're just thinking of a fight, I think they had to do, like, they It worked on the show because it's factual. It's not a slur or anything, but it's pretty sus. And it's like, it's clear that she's not being racist. If right. they just wrote that now, they'd be like, let's not say big black ass. Like, just leave that right. out of it. And I feel like it would be very obvious that at least half of the people there, some might not care. Some would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be like, yeah, Samantha's our favorite character.
Not at all. Like, and there definitely would. And like, understandably, there would be some people be like, who is this white woman in this predominantly black club with this dude that we know? Like, if he's there to like it, because he's like a known figure, like, oh, I'm here showing, you know, like he's like an industry guy. So like, it's probably like, yo, who is this dude's new girlfriend yelling about someone's black ass in this club? Not going to go over great. And also, dude, and then so like,
so like, funny.
Then the other thing is like, get out of the reality of just the situation and take it to the point of the show, making the comment where it's like, the line is like, Samantha knew the real problem wasn't her little white pussy. It was the fact that Siobhan was a black pussy who wouldn't stand up to his sister. And for Samantha Jones, that was a deal breaker. Like, that is just like,
gosh.
Why are you taking on... Why are you taking on this in the context of race? Why don't you just do it? Why don't you do it with just families? Like,
I know.
You know,
well,
like,
that's why it's like they're when you try and like, that is truly my worry with the new show is like, is when you try too hard. Like, so I bet it'd be interesting to watch a review because maybe they didn't really do reviews of episodes, but maybe when this came out, it was like, it was cool. They tackled that, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's like, you know, there's certain books and certain like interviews that don't hold up well, you know, that at the time that is where the discussion was and they did the best they could. There was no maliciousness in that, but it's just like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And they probably were like, yeah, like, should we do it? Like, yeah, let's push harder. Let's do that. And it's just really funny to watch. It's just so funny to watch later because it's just like, yeah, it's the Randy Jackson meme. That's a no for me, dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Completely.
Sorry, Samantha.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
But
I mean, it's very... I mean, also like TV has just gotten like kind of less broad brush in the past however many years. Mm-hmm. Like there was an actual interesting moment when him and her are sitting outside when he's like, I love you. Or I don't know if he said I love you, but he's like, we have a good connection, but that's my sister. And like after, you know, whatever happened with family, like, she's blood and she kind of raised, like, I think there was something where it was like, he said something like, she has her issues, but you didn't have to insult her food. You mean the world to me, but she's my blood. I thought they said something about how like they were very close or they had a thing where it's mm-hmm. like, you know, they were very close family. But like that's actually like kind of a good moment where it's just like, mm-hmm. hey, listen, you didn't have to do this. And like, I like you, but like, listen, it's blood. And then, but then she walks off and they're like, he was just a black pussy. It's like, come on, guys. You don't got to do that.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny.
It's like,
it's so,
okay. Yeah. You know, maybe it's just not a good look. It's just not, it's not going to go the way you want, you know?
Yeah. Dude. Well, I gotta say, when it first came on, I was like, it's just fun to sit back and just be like, hey, we're just podcasting about it. I didn't write this episode. We just gotta deliver the news.
Sorry. It's funny.
It would be interesting. Well, I think we did last time. If we do have, I know we have didn't we get an email from one of our listeners who was black that talked about they talked about the Blair Underwood character and had some mm-hmm. interesting insights. So I want to know if anyone who is Black or African American is listening to our podcast. I want to know what this episode, if it's like super cringe or if it's just like, man, whatever, there's weird things out there. I would be interested to know, because as like being white, you know, it's funny, you're watching this and you're just like, whoa. And I don't know, sometimes I know people that are Black that are just like, yeah, it didn't really bother me, it wasn't a big deal, because it's like they're used to you know, it's kind of like sometimes it's white people on behalf of Black people being like, oh, this didn't hold up well, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
but no, I also feel like, so, but I don't know. So if anyone's listening, please send us your thoughts on this app. I would love to know them.
Yeah, I would be interested here too, because I also wonder if, I mean, like I said, I don't know. And so I do not have that experience and can't take credit for it. But I also wonder if there's a thing where someone could be like, yeah, I'm pretty used to Hollywood getting it pretty wrong a lot of the time. And this is just another instance of them really missing the mark. So I would be very interested to see if any of our listeners if you're a listener who is Black.
Because there was one, I mean, there was part of it.
I would be interested to see how you feel. Because, yeah.
There was part of the episode too that I was just like, you know, obviously diversity and stuff was a problem for the show. They talk about it, but it was like, all right, quick. Wikipedia is not around yet, but it's just like, so I did some research and, so there's Black people in Harlem and they eat okra and they go to clubs.
Exactly. I mean, it really, you're right. It very much, there's so many things about it that were, it was so broad brush of like,
yeah.
Okay, so she does fusion soul food.
And that is funny because, like, that is true. There are Black people in Harlem. Black people do have okra.
Yeah, I mean, okra. Like, they're, it's part of their cuisine. Yeah. It's like, yeah, okra. Mississippi mud pie is like, yeah, Southern cuisine. I mean, like, whatever. See, if you're going to do a whole broad brush Southern,
well, Southern
restaurant,
other thing,
sure, why not?
On Girls, one thing that I didn't love is it got hammered for diversity. And then when they had Donald Glover on, the whole, I felt like it was almost like a troll. Like the whole point was like, he's a Republican. And so it was like almost the exact point was just to be like, we're flipping the script. And neither of those, like it just doesn't come off as like an honest character. Yeah. You know what I mean? That I'm like, that was a reaction to being like, cool, we're not going to do what these other characters are, we're going to go so far the opposite. Mm-hmm. And something that you would never guess, and either of those don't necessarily, they end up not being the best writing.
Two shows that I think that have great writing that do things, I'm sure there are shows that do it much better, but like, or just as well, but like, mm-hmm. The Good Place, there's the whole storyline between Kristen Bell and, Will Harper, Chidi mm-hmm. Adegonye is his character. And he's like, he's African. And like, there's a whole thing about like his heritage, but it's just not made a big deal of. It's just like well represented of just them being two people, and they like talk some about their differences, but like that. And then that sketch show that we watched, I Think You Should Leave, the Tim Robinson show on Netflix, that show has like a little bit of a Tim and Eric-ness about how they cast very normal looking people as all of their extras, but it's like incredibly diverse, but it mm-hmm. but then you look at it, you're like, it's not incredibly diverse, it's just normal life. It's like the same thing mm-hmm. of like, if we cast a show of like what it's like walking around New York, you would be like, yeah, it's a bunch of different people, you know, like,
yeah.
But I think those are two shows that do it really well, whereas like Sex and the City was clearly made at a time and also done in a way where it's like, you know, there's just, it's, it became problematic, as you say, where it's like, where also it is a thing that like, people also talk about how Sex and the City changed New York in the sense where it like made a bunch of women want to move to New York for the fabulous Carrie Bradshaw life, you know, which was for women going out in downtown New York, which was, you know, written by, like we said, like it's a lot of times, like it's written by a bunch of gay men too. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
And
we've really nailed the Samantha one. I think we did a pretty decent job on it. Let's, I'm going to pat us on the back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, look at that. Wading into that
better
water
than they did. No. All right. Is a bad first kiss a deal breaker? What do you think, Corey?
No. I would say no. It's unpleasant, but I would say it's not necessarily a deal breaker. I've had very awkward kisses on a first date, and I've also had and the relationship didn't work out. And then I've had also not great kisses. You would always want to have a better one, but I don't think it's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
I think if the dude's licking your face.
I mean, I guess that bad is pretty bad.
That bad, I would say yes. Yeah.
Instagram says 69% deal breaker.
Interesting.
Wow. Wow. We have some. So guys, you better up your kiss game if you want to be dating any of our Instagram followers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're not taking any shit from anyone.
Although I do think one thing that is nice is when you have a good kiss, you know, and you're, when it's a sign of chemistry, I guess, you know, when that is just a part of the chemistry where you're like, oh, and that stuff's popping too. That's awesome. You know?
Yeah. And also a bad, but I don't think this would count as a bad first kiss, but when it's like, when you're on different rhythms and you're like, that might be a sign of like, you like the person. So that could end up not being a good kiss, but still shows there's chemistry there. And you're like, overthinking it. Yeah. Whereas this guy, it's like a total, it's not just, it's physically a bad kiss, emotionally and mentally, the guy is like so off in his own world that it's not even like, you know, you can't in this current climate post Me Too, you can't rape people's chins. Mm-mm.
No,
even that, I don't think that line would be in it.
You never really could. You never could.
It is just funny. It's like, even hearing the word rape, you're just like, whew, I don't hear the word rape a lot and thrown around as much as it used to.
It doesn't get thrown around a lot of comedies these days. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like,
rape Charlotte was like, he raped my face. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she did have a very bad hickey on it.
I know.
The next one, and this will lead us into some Steve and Miranda, Carrie and, when they're at the Magnolia bench, Carrie says, isn't that what you people do? Support each other's silly dreams. And we asked her Instagram poll, if you find yourself doubting your partner's dreams or goals, are you in the wrong relationship? 53% of people said yes. 47 said no. So that's pretty, I'd call that a down the middle split right there. I don't know. What do you think?
Like, that's within the margin of error.
Yeah. If you would, what do you think? If you're doubting their dreams, you think you're in the wrong relationship?
I don't know. I find the response of that pretty interesting, because I feel like all of these questions, they require so much like follow up because in this case, like Steve was just being such an absolute baby, but also
he was totally.
It's like. Like it was funny, but I think sometimes like you're okay to doubt the subject of their dreams as long as you're not diminishing what's underneath that, the person's worth or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, if like someone was dating you and said like, I don't, whatever, you know, like, read like a script you were working on and be like, I don't think you should write scripts and don't like ever make a creative thing or whatever, then that'd be the wrong relationship. If someone like was like, maybe you shouldn't work so hard on this and you could work on this other thing or whatever. So I guess I'd want to follow up with people, because it's kind of shocking, to be honest. If you find yourself doubting your partner's dreams or goals, are you in the wrong relationship? That to me sounds like a slam dunk. of like that is a red flag. And I just wonder if there's a lot of people that it's like, you can have doubts about certain things as long as you're not, you know, if Steve was just like, my dream is to like do this, but it's like, no, you got to run the bar. Like if it's going to take away right. from like these other things. Right. So I think there is a healthy way to doubt healthily, as long as you're correcting that with like filling the void of that doubt with like some other belief, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think like the Steve thing, it's like, yeah, it's a silly thing. He could get $1 million, but like, you know, it's definitely like, I'm trying to think like what it is. If I was like, I want to enter this guacamole contest and like really win. And you know, like, and if you're putting a lot of, it's like a silly thing, you know? And like, if someone is like, they do too many dumb little things. Do you remember on The Real World when Puck did the soapbox derby thing? And
yeah.
Him and all his friends did this, like, it was this like crazy bike messenger derby thing. And it was like, so ridiculous.
If you're ever dating Corey, by the way, just know there's going to come a time where he's like, you know, I just thought that if my guacamole won, I'd be success.
Yeah. That when I lost that guac comp, man, that really derailed.
I was surprised
my life.
You brought up the guac contest on the pod. I thought that was like, don't speak of it, because it was such a painful moment for you.
I've been talking about it in therapy, and I'm trying to bring out my failures more, you know? I actually have been to, you know, they do at the Bell House in Brooklyn, they do this giant guac competition. I've
really
never entered. I've been before because I had some friends that wanted to go. There's no way you could do it now. You can't have a thing where people bring homemade things. We're past that in this world. No one's ever going to do, you can't pay to go to an event where people are bringing homemade things and you dip chips into it. That'll never happen again, ever. And not in this COVID world.
Chili cook-offs, done.
Done. Forget it. Church potlucks, forget it.
How about this? Let's go through these deal breakers and we can, because these are really good. These are sent in from the Instagram.
Okay.
In relationships, what are the deal breakers? Lying and the thing guys do with their nose and throat.
I think it's,
is that what she means?
I think
so. Lying and guys clearing their throat. Hey, girls clear their fucking throat too.
I don't know if they do it as much as guys. I think that guys actually do that more. I think that is more of a guy's thing to like hock loogies and like do that. I think that's more of a dude thing.
One of many deal breakers, religion. Yeah, that can be a big deal breaker.
That's a big one. That's a cultural thing.
That was sent in by our follower Richard Dawkins.
Dawkins, thank you.
One of
Dawkins,
our listeners, Bill Maher.
thank you for listening to Richard Dawkins. Appreciate it. Like and subscribe. Give us 5 stars.
Okay, smoker. Listen. Smoker, 20 plus people sent in smoker.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. A lot of people don't want to be with a smoker.
Someone said
I don't what, I would
smoking?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. Like I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go. Well, here's one. If he doesn't share my political values, I am a member of QAnon in parentheses. That's surprising.
They got some good ideas. All right. Body odor. I see that a lot. I've seen that a lot on dating apps. People are like, must have good hygiene, have good body odor. I see that a lot.
There must be a lot of smelly ass dudes out there.
A lot of stank daddies out there.
Yeah.
Bad texter.
Eek.
Okay.
Ouch. Zero ambition.
I get that. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Lack of affection.
Lack of affection. anything I'm not willing to, in quotes, put up with long term. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Hey, sweetie, your penis is too big and I'm not willing to put up with it. Just anything. That's like true for any deal breaker. That's just it anything that, you're not that, willing.
That's actually just the definition of a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Anything I'm not willing to put up with. Well, that's a deal breaker, ladies.
Yeah, Yeah, the question that we asked could have been in relationships, what are the things that you would not be willing to put up with long term?
So what are your deal breakers? Your deal breakers are deal breakers? Congratulations.
Looks like we found ourselves a deal breaker.
The things that you can't get over because they're fundamental differences in value. Again, that's the definition of a deal breaker. Listen, we don't usually like to roast our listeners and Instagram people, but come on, y'all. I guess my things
that are deal breakers are anything that I would end a relationship over because it's important to me. How about that?
I guess my deal breakers would be things that break the deal for me. Okay.
Yeah. And then I guess.
Go ahead.
Kids, no kids.
That's the last one. Hey, let's really dive into the final one because we're running out of time. Carrie Aiden. We met Aiden. So you said you were like on another watch, and I know some of what you were saying was the Samantha thing, but what are some things you noticed about Carrie and Aiden on this rewatch? I noticed a bunch of different things.
I noticed he was coming in hot as like cutesy Aiden guy.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed is like just in relationships when something is cute and then becomes annoying, which happens with them. And, and I was just like, oh, it'd be so funny to have someone be like,
totally. Oh,
and then like 3 months in, be like, shut the fuck up.
Why don't you speak up? I remember that. I felt like that. I remember that after I watched The New Girl for the first time. And after like three episodes, I was like, can Zooey Deschanel blow her freaking nose? She's like, well, hey, guys. She just has this like fake nerd accent that drove me insane. New Girl's a great show, but still drove me crazy.
I'm a nerd. I'm such a nerd, but I'm really hot and every guy's a dream.
I'm ugly. Look at my glasses. I'm ugly.
Oh, I'm ugly. I'm such always stay at home and just look amazing. And I'm really into indie music. I'm such a nerd.
I like how your definition of things that annoy you after a while in a relationship was your relationship with the TV show, not a real human being.
Yeah. But those other things aren't there because I'm incompatible. Just kidding.
Well, I wonder if they were laying the groundwork for that because he is, I mean, I think we said this the first time around, but he is just like, he is opposite of big male porn. You know, he's just like, he's like, I work with my hands. I'm affectionate. Yeah. I'm goofy.
Yeah. Totally.
I
throw dogs.
And then I don't know. It's the introduction to like the yin and yang of men, you know?
It is. You also got to think like
we like picking on him because we're a dude. We can pick on Big and Aiden, but there are some people that just stand by the fact that he is the best guy of all time.
Totally. And I mean, you got to think like they didn't really know fully where I think maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they fully knew where the Aiden arc was going at this point. So they were like, this is definitely going to be, a completely different kind of guy. It is pretty interesting to just see things in hindsight. A wise person once told me, you live forward, but you understand backward. And it's interesting to see things for the second time, hear Carrie say like, I lied about the smoking, but that's the only thing I lie about. And I was like, ooh, fast forward to when you cheated on him and then told him at a wedding. You know,
that's the only thing I'm lying about, besides the fact that in a few months I'm going to be sucking my married ex-boyfriend's dick twice a week in the middle of the day in a hotel room, like,
and just destroying your life. Yeah, completely. Yeah.
And then he's like, wait, is that, do I yell anything? She's like, you yell something very sad. He's like, really?
Yes.
Do I handle it with poise and a masculine quietness? I'm afraid to say you don't.
they uh
they definitely it's funny that really actually makes me feel worse for Aiden. It definitely makes me feel worse for Aiden, but I will say there are, you know, he doesn't come off great at the beginning. He does come off very judgy at first. And there's definitely a thing like if someone's a bad kisser, is that a deal breaker? There is kind of a thing where it's like I was talking to a friend this week. I was going to say there is a thing where if you have something in your life that you need to get out of or give up, don't just do it to get into a relationship. I was talking to a friend this week who she had a situation where she was talking to a guy and he was like, I'm getting out of a thing. But she was just like, okay, well, you know, like, don't do these things for me. Do them for yourself, you know? And like, I think a very mature way to handle it is Aiden being like, I gotta be honest, I'm not really into dating a smoker. But you do what you want to do, but you know, don't quit this for me, quit this for you, you know, that,
yeah,
you know, so
I mean,
listen,
what's crazy,
it's his prerogative if he doesn't want to date a smoker, but it doesn't go well if you're like, I'm going to quit this just for this person. And we see that it doesn't go well.
Well, we have right here, least favorite part of the episode response, Aiden being, people don't like that he's condescending and they think that's a red flag, but I mean, 59% agree that Aiden being condescending as fuck toward Carrie about smoking is a red flag. 59% agree. So that's 41% that disagree. And a lot of people on here, these are the thoughts about the ultimatum. It's his decision, just like hers, to smoke. He's being honest and open about what's important to him.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, ultimatums, yes. Deal breakers, boundaries, hell no. I don't get that. Smoking is harmful to people around you and gross, so I get that particular shoe. I don't know, like, a lot of people are very pro Aiden on this. And I talked to a friend who quit smoking. Mm-hmm. And you know what his reason was? I thought it was going to be health. I thought it was going to be like, you know, it was time, all this stuff. And I actually thought it was interesting because it was so specific. And he just said, he's like, I want to be in a relationship. And it's been a problem in every relationship I've ever had. So if I'm not in one in 5 years or 10 years, I'll probably just start smoking again.
Wow.
And I was like, and that is from like a 15 year smoker who's dated a bunch. And he just said it was always a thing. And it seems like our response to this is like, our Insta response is very pro Aiden with the smoking stuff.
Yeah. I guess because I even said, I was like, I'm not sure. Cause like, you know, it doesn't bother me when like friends smoke around me, but you know, if you're, I don't know if it would bother me in a relationship or not. So like, I can understand that. I don't mean it in a judgmental way, but it just comes down to a preference. So like, I guess I don't know for myself, and I could see that with Aiden. So I guess I could respect that. I just think the way that he tells her feels a little judgmental. It doesn't seem like he's like, oh, you know what? It's the more he's like, what? Like he has it. He definitely has some judgment going on.
In the words of Mom and Dad Doyle, Kevin, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. I think that's Aiden's problem here.
Yeah.
But well, that's all our time, folks. We solved a lot of issues on this podcast, was the representation of Black characters in television and diversity as a whole and how they're written. And you're welcome, because without us, what would anyone have done?
Yeah. You know, we really, it's been a huge issue, and we're just glad that these two white dudes on this podcast could finally crack the code. Hey, you put up a thing that you said you were going to revisit on Instagram.
All right.
We got to know.
I have on also, here. Let's see.
Also, if you are, like we said, if you are a Black listener and we want to know what you thought of this episode of Sex and the City and of this podcast, but yeah, let us know.
All right. Is Carrie's podcast called I Couldn't Help But Wonder? 83% said yes. 17% wow. said no.
Wow.
Wow.
There you go. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. All right. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Let's
maybe,
see.
Maybe it's just obvious enough. You could be right.
Maybe the podcast is called Later Taters.
Later Taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.